The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Delighted you are here. It is Monday, February 24th. Join in at 770-5633-770-KMED. Email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. Read them all. Answer as many as I can, too, for that matter. But, hey, appreciate your listenership wherever you happen to be. 106.3, 106.7, 105.9 KMED. And, of course, 99.3 KBXG. And on KMED.com. All right. So stream that anywhere. And, yeah, just stream it right from the website. Easiest way to deal with that. You can also enable the KMED skill with Alexa. And then you just say, hey, Alexa, play KMED. And, boom, up it comes. It's pretty simple stuff, all right? 10 after 6. All right. I'm going to give you my first take on the email from Elon over the weekend, Elon Musk of Doge. He ended up sending out an email over the weekend that federal employees must report their accomplishments from the last week or face losing their jobs. And you know something? I don't blame them for being upset about this, because this has nothing to do with the chain of command within the federal system, within any system for that matter. In other words, you tell me five things that you did and yada, yada, yada. In fact, I might even promote you, is what Elon Musk ended up saying in some of those emails. I think this is one of the, this is a misfire, tone-deaf bit of stupidity, unfortunately, I think. And I shouldn't say stupidity, because Elon Musk, I know, is probably got IQ of 240 or whatever it is and could run circles around me, but this is not how you get stuff done. This is not how you get stuff done. And I have to tell you, you know, here it is. Everyone's talking this morning. Hey, Dan Bongino in as deputy director of the FBI. Yeah, that's great. Cash Patel confirmed last week. RFK Jr. confirmed. Tulsi Gabbard confirmed. And Pete Hegseth confirmed, et cetera, et cetera. How do you think they feel when you have Elon Musk making their personnel decisions for them? They're the directors. They are the people that sweated blood for President Trump. They're the ones that are supposed to be running the departments. They're the ones that are supposed to be doing all of this. If anything, I can understand why Pete Hegseth and Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard and all the rest of them are telling their people, no, don't respond to this. And I was mentioning this on the Facebook, on social media, and people were looking at me to say, well, what do you mean? This is President Trump? No. President Elon Musk, the people in the federal government do not work for Elon Musk. Unless you want to declare Elon Musk the president. I don't think even President Trump is trying to do this. I don't want to be one of those people. But it looks bad. You have all these amazing people that sweated blood, that we've been making phone calls and trying to get these people confirmed through our elected representatives. Of course, you know, what would our senators care, you know, about the MAGA situation, you know, our state, our, you know, Merkley and Wyden. Why would you put these great people in them to have someone just indiscriminately send out an email that says, well, you know, give me your five things you did last week, your accomplishments, and if not, we have considered you more or less resigned. What the heck? You know, that's just stupid. That's a stupid way of going about it. And then they start walking it back, and there's all of this, well, we're just having a conversation. No, I don't want you to have a conversation. I want you to do smart policy. You have these great people that have been put in place, confirmed by the Senate. They're all in there. They're all going in there ready to do their job. It's not Elon Musk's job to make their decisions for them before they can even hit the ground running. My gosh. And yep, I can already hear, I can almost guarantee conservative talk radio is probably going to be doing a lot of covering for this. This was dumb. President Trump needs to yank Elon Musk's chain and yank it hard. That's what I say. Now, you could agree with me. You can yell at me like some people did on Facebook last night. But, you know, we gave President Trump our vote. We didn't have to hand over our brain in the process. And that's I'm going to have to remind us of that several times over the years. That was not well thought out. Agree or disagree? 770-563-3770-KMED. That's just not the way you do it. Now, if you want to have President Trump say, hey, I need 10% or a 15% cut in your, you know, in your budget, and I need it this year, I need you to start looking at your people and find out who you need and who you don't, that's fine. That, in fact, that's the way you're supposed to do it. If you want to have Elon Musk send a list to the various agency heads, the Cash Patels and the Kristi Noems and the Tulsi Gabbards, hey, you know, we think that there's some fraud and or hinky-looking stuff going on here, or we have some people who aren't probably really paying their way, really you know, working hard through it. That's fine. And then let them deal with it. But to not even know what these people do, how difficult it may be to replace them in some cases, it's just kind of like the other week when we indiscriminately laid off the nuclear workers over at Hanford. Oh, they're just in charge of taking care of the nuclear waste they're regarding, right? And then they walk that back. Got to be smarter about this. That's what I say. We can talk about it if you wish. 770-5633. I can almost guarantee you, though, we're going to be listening to conservative talk radio today, though, probably doing a lot of excusing of this kind of behavior. Now, I've made it clear that I don't trust Elon Musk any farther than I can throw a Tesla, which is not very far. And ultimately, Elon Musk, as even Rick Manning admitted on the show here a couple of weeks ago, what Elon Musk is all about is cutting the federal government down to the point that he gets Mars money. So he has a dog in the fight. And I have no problem with Mars money, don't get me wrong. But remember, just about everything that Elon Musk does ultimately has that, you know, in the tech bro world, as a nice little driving bit of money. We want to get rid of all the other waste and everything else so that we can send everybody to Mars. That's his big thing. That's his big focus. And never forget that. Always remember that. I'm glad that Elon has those tech bros and they're looking at the algorithms and all the rest of them, but no, he's not the one that should be in charge of sending out emails to workers saying, hey, respond back to me with your accomplishments or else we will consider you resigned. That's not right. And that cuts the knees out underneath all of those good people, Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., all of them that have been confirmed. Even Dan Bongino. You know, Dan Bongino and Cash Patel need to be making the decisions about who needs to stay and who needs to go, not who responds to an email from Elon Musk. Want to challenge me on that? You think I'm wrong about this? I know there were people yesterday on Facebook last, Bill, you're just not understanding how this is. No, it's idiocy. It's stupid. And I'm not here to defend the federal workforce. Yeah, I'd like to take a meat axe to the federal workforce, too. But not everybody there is bad. And you have these great people that are running the agencies that are coming in there. Let them do their job. Give them the marching orders. Let Elon Musk do what we were told this was all about. I'm here to make a bunch of suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. Remember hearing that all back from the beginning? We're here to make a lot of suggestions. I'm here to make suggestions, and we're going to root out the waste, and then President Trump is going to do it. Yeah, President Trump should be doing it and then ordering the agencies to follow along and find some cuts. Find the cuts, take the meat axe. That's how you do it. 770-563-3770-KMED. So you can... Yeah, like I said, that one just astounded me over the weekend. Both Linda and I were talking about this. It's like, how would you like to be someone coming into the Trump administration and you're ready to do your good work and make America healthy again, or, you know, make America competent again, make the intelligence agencies not attacking the people again, you know, all that kind of thing. And then you just, you know, have another interloper that comes in there and cuts your knees off. I would imagine your workers would then be looking at you and say, I don't have to worry about you, Tulsi Gabbard. It's all right. I'll call up Elon Musk if I find out what I want to do over at DNI. It's very important that the Trump people that have been put in place have the power to actually affect positive change. And that's why, you know, I don't, Hey, if you can convince me that I'm wrong about this, I'm willing to listen, but I think this is one of the dumbest moves I've seen, you know, so far. And I don't like using the term dumb. Maybe tone deaf is a better way of doing it or describing it, but no, that's not the way to go about this kind of stuff. Yeah, we need a meat axe taken to it, but you need to have a meat axe done by the agencies themselves so that they know and that they keep the people that they need and want and the ones that, you know, the ideologues, let's say, need to go out the door, and they need to figure that out. Elon Musk is not able to figure this out. He doesn't have that kind of access or even information to do it. It's up for the people running the agencies. That's what I say. 20 minutes after 6, right? Nobody's going to disagree with me on this one. Hey, if you want to fight me, great. 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority.
With a qualifying purchase from PureTalk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
Hi, I'm Michael, Gage of Construction, and I'm on KMED.
23 minutes after 6, it is Monday the 24th. And happy to take your calls at 770-5633. I think the big mistakes over the weekend with Elon Musk sending out those emails saying, hey, respond to me by midnight tonight or else we have considered you resigned. Talk about cutting the knees out from underneath of Trump's good people. This is a misfire. This is a big misfire. Walk it back, and I think he needs to be reined in like now. The agency heads need to be involved with this. Randy? Yay or nay on what happened? What are you thinking?
Well, I think you're on the right track. This is one of Trump's downfalls. Just like he fell for Fauci and everything Fauci wanted to do, he delegates too much authority to people that, you know, have an agenda. And Fauci definitely had an agenda because he was profiting from the vaccine. And Musk, like you say, is going ultimately could profit on his Mars mission, just by cutting as many people out. Oh, look, we've got all this money, so we can go to Mars. But I think you're right.
And we have to remember that everybody has an agenda. Everyone has an agenda, even Elon Musk. All right, now, Elon Musk, of course, was under attack by the last administration, so I would understand why he would certainly want to buddy up. But just remember, Elon Musk, while he may do some good things, I do not consider him a friend, really. And I think that's what we have to be careful about. Am I wrong about that? We're okay.
No, I don't think so. Having him go through and find the fraud and corruption and the stuff that we really can get rid of, but turn it over to the heads of the departments and let them make the decisions of who stays and who goes.
Yeah, and that way you keep your chain of command, you know, in there too. Because I got to tell you, I would be willing to bet, and I don't think they're going to do this. I'm sure they're going to walk this back pretty soon. But wouldn't the Democrats love to see a bunch of Trump people resign right now over something like this, like saying, okay, wait a minute, I've told I was going to be running HHS, or I'm going to be running the Defense Department, or I'm going to be running the FBI, and then we have somebody else deciding my personnel for me without even consulting. I mean, that's an issue, wouldn't you say? They'd love
that. That's huge. Yeah, no, it's huge. You're exactly right. I think you're spot on with this whole analysis of what's going on. And hopefully Trump sees it before it gets out of hand.
Thanks a lot for the call, Randy. Good hearing from you. Let me go to Dave. Hey, Dave, what's going on in your world, huh?
Yeah, I was just going to say, just because somebody's highly intelligent doesn't mean they don't do dumb stuff. Because we're people and we're not perfect. And, you know, like, I got a really high IQ. And I've done some whopper things that were wrong, but, you know, you learn from experience.
Well, and you also have to remember that high IQ and high intelligence doesn't necessarily mean that you are good at what they would term emotional intelligence, understanding the way human relationships work. In fact, a lot of times there's evidence that some of the higher IQ people, very, very intelligent, but have a great difficulty functioning within making things work.
Especially considering he has Asperger's. Asperger's, I'm unusual. I have Asperger's, and I like people, but I also get that period of time where I can't stand people, and I don't want to be around them. So You know, that could be him.
I think that's just being normal. Okay. Sometimes you don't want to be around people. That's okay, Dave. I appreciate the call, though. 770-5633. Like I said, I'm hoping they get this figured out quick and back away like a Georgia mule from this kind of policy. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Gene.
Hey, Gene, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
But has anybody ever thought that sounds like a dictator, and the dictators are all on the, well, mainly on the Democrat side? If that is Elon Musk, President Trump better tighten them reins because he's getting the bit through his teeth.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to end up happening, and maybe what we'll end up seeing is that Elon Musk will be declaring victory and taking off. I don't know. Like I said, I'm fine with him and those young guys of his going through the books and finding things that look hinky. And then you turn it over, you publicize it, and you let the Trump administration's people fix it. That's what I would say. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony. What are you thinking today?
Hey, Bill. When I first read this Elon Musk thing, I'm almost positive that he told them to submit their answers to their heads of their departments.
Well, the story that I'm having here hasn't again responded to the email and now that may have been a change. There may have been a change that may have evolved. It did evolve a bit over the weekend as time went. But still, yeah, we're having the heads of these agencies like the Tulsi Gabbards and others that instructed their employees not to respond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, when I first read it, I thought the same as you did. But like I said, I'm positive where it said report to your heads of agencies.
Yeah.
But,
maybe it's one of those things where you respond to Doge and then you carbon copy copy them. That could be what's going on. Hey, Tony, appreciate the call. Thanks for that. Let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
Morning, Bill. Steve in Sunny Valley.
Hey, Steve. What are you thinking?
A couple things. One, I think the first test is just see who's showing up and opening their emails.
Well, that could be something. Yeah, good point there.
And two, it ain't that hard to come up with five things you've done in a week if you show up and do your job, and it will at least shine a light on who might possibly need to go. And three, our government is way too big, and it can use a meat cleaver, not a scalpel.
Yeah, now I would agree with you, though, but the meat cleaver needs to be wielded by the people who actually run the agencies themselves, not Elon Musk.
Well, I think that just a mass mailing like this is cheap and easy and quick, and it will shine the light on a lot of people who don't open their email. Because if you open it, asking for five things is not a high bar.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. That's an interesting way of looking at that. Let me go to line four. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Bill. Jeff and Selma.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey, when I was going through my divorce, I was in Schenectady, which used to be the headquarters for GE. Well, I stayed with a friend of mine's father, Dave Wiljong, who held 17 patents on nuclear submarines.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're sitting in the living room one night, and the smoke alarm goes off, and he jumps up out of his recliner and says, "Oh, my supper's ready."
Oh, no. This is the example of how some people who are amazingly intelligent have some functional issues in some cases. Not right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
On with the calls.
Oh, I love that. Great story. Go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Hey, you know, I think what's going on here is the Biden administration and the whole damn government has been so radical and so extreme, and this extremism has been, quote, normalized. And so we're going through life and, oh, a $36 trillion debt, oh, perpetual war, we're
right.
Always in war. It just goes, slash and burn the genitals of children and so forth. All this crazy, absolute insane is radical. It's extremist. It's way off the beam. But because of the corporate media, it's been normalized. And we don't, it's like the fish have no word for water. And we're growing it. And so you get somebody chainsaw Musk getting in there. I mean, it seems like it's a radical thing, but hey, we're in a very radical, extremist situation right now.
No, I will agree with you, though. The thing is, though, is that Musk's chainsaw cuts the knees out from underneath Trump's best people. And so how are you going to get them to stay with you? It's like, why am I going to be a director? I have no influence on what goes on here. That's a bad thing, wouldn't you agree?
Well, it's certainly like it, but, you know, it's sort of like the French Revolution, you know. They just kept being ground into the ground. Finally, when the pendulum swung the other way, next thing you know, they're lopping off heads of friends and people on their side and so forth. We're kind of in that extreme French Revolution situation right now, and it's going to be...
In the bureaucracy, the revolutionary kind of thought. Okay, all right. Yeah, I get
just,
that.
I'm just making an observation. That's the way I see it. I don't expect, Trump to be very perfect in his first administration. I don't expect him now. He's a different kind of guy and so forth. But, you know, people voted for it. They want a change, and they're getting it.
All right. Good point. Thanks for that. Let me go to line two. That'll wrap for this segment. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Gene. You missed my point.
Gene, I didn't miss your point. I thought you made one, but go ahead. I'll let you do it again.
Did Elon Musk actually send the email, or is this a way for the Democrats to break President Trump and Elon Musk up?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that that was a fake email sent out, because Elon, of course, was responding to it to the media all weekend. So I think, you know, he copped to it. Now, for all we know, artificial intelligence may have actually written the email and sent it. That I don't know. But I think it definitely was legit, Gene. I appreciate the call, okay? 77. Well, actually, let's hold the calls here for the moment, because we're going to talk about the Trump administration, too, but in a different aspect. I want to have Shane Jenkins on. He's executive director of Stand in the Gap. He is a former January 6th defendant. Boy, he spent a lot of time in jail over the last 4 years. Just amazing how much time he spent in there. I want to get a little bit of his story and what he's hoping that Kash Patel and now Dan Bongino is the deputy director of the FBI could be doing to reform that agency.
Short and chilly days are an opportune time to work on the exit24.com. The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:37, Shane Jenkins joins me. He's the executive director of Stand in the Gap. He's a former J6er defendant and wanted to talk about his story this morning. Shane, great to have you on. Welcome back to the show. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, what is the website once again for Stand in the Gap? Because it's actually a January 6er foundation of sorts. Isn't that right? Tell me a little bit about that, and then we'll talk about your story.
Yes, sir. It's standinthegap.foundation. And what we've done is we have tried to set out, while I was in prison, I actually cast the vision for Stand in the Gap, but we wanted to help set, because I knew we were going to get out of this. I never gave up hope, and I knew we were all going to need to get our lives set back on track. And so a couple of things that we're doing with Stand in the Gap is, one of them is called Mission Memory Maker, where we're going to be funding a 3 to 5 day vacation with January 6th families, probably guys that have been in about 1,000 days or more in prison, so they can go on a vacation at no expense to them and reconnect those family bonds and all that with their children or with their wife or whoever, whatever their family situation is. And another thing we're going to be working on is getting everybody health care, because the medical and dental treatment in prison is horrible. And then another thing is credit repair. We want to try to, because most of us just got snatched up out in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and we're not able to close down bank accounts, credit cards, or anything like that. So a lot of us have bad marks on our credit, and it takes time to fix all that. So.
Boy, there's a lot of damage that gets done to people in this situation that we don't even think about. I'd never even considered what would happen to your financial situations when you get snatched out and then you're dropped in the D.C. gulag. And speaking of which, how many days overall over the last 4 or 5 years did you spend in either the D.C. jail or in the prison system over the J6 issue?
Yeah, I spent 1,418 days, and that equals 46 and a half months.
46 and a half months. What were you charged with, Shane? What did they get you for?
I was charged with everything from obstruction of Congress to assault on federal officers to breaking a window, trespassing while armed. I had survival hatchets on me, you know, and the reason people are like, well, why would you be armed on Capitol grounds? They told us that previous rallies in D.C., people had been stabbed or jumped or beaten or robbed by Antifa BLM, or just D.C. was just a dangerous city in general. And so they're like, look, be prepared, protect yourselves. And so that's why a lot of us brought pepper spray, or like you saw people with dowel, like thick dowel rods for a flag stick or an axe handle or whatever they had.
But so in other words, you were caught with ostensibly a weapon, and then they say, see, he had a hatchet here, and hence he was coming to, so they nailed you hard on that, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Describe life in the D.C. gulag, if you don't mind.
And it was a traumatic experience. You know, I have a checkered past, and so I've been in trouble before. I knew what to expect with jail for the most part, but I'd never been in a jail like this before. But what I saw, like, and what's really sad is these men are a majority, like, veterans, just, I call them civilians, never been in trouble a day in their life, never been to jail, and here you throw them into the D.C. jail, and these people's, like, wives are leaving them. I watched two men's parents die. They're losing businesses. They're losing homes. They're losing everything. And people, their family, or some people's family got on them and testified against them at trial. And then you've got the weight of the world coming down us, the weaponized DOJ coming against us, trying to give us 20, 30, 40 years. And then you've got the media calling us white supremacists and domestic terrorists. And it was just something that was, for me especially, watching men who've lived an honorable life and served this country and were trained by this country to be crushed by their own government. And the reason that all these military men are in there is because they were trained. There was police officers, prison guards, and everything, and they were trained to, like, move forward into the fray if violence has happened to people. And that is what was happening. And the D.C. police showed up on the Capitol grounds, and they just got out of control, and they were hell-bent on hurting people. And so that's why a lot of the people were military that got locked up, because they reacted.
Okay, now, on the day of January 6th, from what I understand, I have a couple of notes from your rep here. It was saying you were beside Victoria White when she was assaulted by police. Describe what happened there and how you reacted to this. And I'm just wondering how this reflected on your charge or sentencing, or, you know, what happened after that.
Well, yes, sir. I watched people being bloodied and, I mean, just brutalized. I was on the Lower West Terrace on what you would call the inauguration stage at the Capitol building, and I watched people coming out of that tunnel right there, which was full of police, and they were pouring blood down their face, and I'd stop and take pictures of them, and finally I was like, man, you know what, I'm going to go in there and see what is going on, because that's not, they were, what really set me off was this guy looked like my grandpa, and he was coming out of the tunnel just bloodied, and so I was like, I'm going to go down there and see what's going on. Before I even could get up to the front line to see what was going on, I got pepper sprayed four times in the face, so I had turned around and I started working my way back through the crowd backwards. And when I get up to the police line, that's where Victoria White was on the right side of me, and this cop is just going to town on her. He beat her. If you go back and look at the video, you can find the Lower West Terrace tunnel with Victoria White in it, and you'll see him, Officer Bagshaw, beat her in the head 32 times with an extendable ASP baton. Which that goes against every standard operating procedure that they have in police training, is never strike the head, only the limbs or legs, you know. Like, and so the same officer that beat her hit me, struck me from behind on the top of the head. And clearly, if I had my back to the whole police line, I wasn't doing anything.
Did you try to help the situation? Or I'm kind of wondering, did you actually break a window? First off, do you cop to that? Did you break one of the windows?
Yes, I did break a window.
Okay,
yes,
you did. Okay, all right. Did you hit anybody with your axe?
And let me say that, no, I didn't hit anybody with the axe, but I will say this. Like, I'm looking at the window, and I'm watching these people get the snot beat out of them, and I'm like, why? You know, we already knew they were letting people in on the other side of the building. And like, we're just going to go in and have what my intentions were to go in and have a sit-down. Like, we're just going to sit down in here, passively protest. And I'm watching people get hurt, and I'm like, why? Or they could potentially hurt the police and get federal charges, and they are actively being hurt by the police. And I'm like, this is just a window. Like, if we go in this window, nobody's going to be hurt by this window. And so that was my thinking at the time. I know it looks really bad, but I my focus was on trying to keep people from getting hurt.
Okay. Well, the point being, though, is that you yourself even admitted you had a bit of a checkered past, so. What were you ultimately sentenced to after all of this? You know, even if you did break the window,
You know, and even if you had a stick or whatever it is, a club or an axe or whatever, what did they? How long did they want to keep you in there, Shane?
They were asking for 232 months, which is just 8 months shy of 20 years.
Wow!
And you know, for nobody saying I assaulted them. Yes, there was videos of me throwing sticks at the police, but there was nobody was injured by anything I did. Nobody claimed that I injured them. Nobody suffered a physical injury. So basically, I threw sticks in the general direction of the police, and I broke a window, and they wanted to give me 20 years for it.
20
they
years?
Ended up giving me, yeah, they ended up giving me 7 years, which was 84 months.
Okay. All right. And so you ended up being released along with all of the other J6ers once the pardon came down from the Trump administration, right, is what happened for you.
Yes, sir. The guard came to my door at 6:30 p.m. on the day of the inauguration and said, Jenkins, he asked me, where were you on January 6th? And I said, you know, I was at the Capitol. And he goes, well, get your stuff. You're getting out of here. And it was 6:30. I was like, there's no way it's happening this fast. I figured it would be a couple of days. And he was like, get your stuff and whatever you're taking with you and let's go. You're getting out of here. I was just like, man, all right, it's happening.
Yeah, yeah. There were some pretty bad days of your life prior to that. That was probably one of your better days of your life to get the pardon in, right? And you didn't ask any other questions, right? You got out, right? Okay, hey, I'm gone, right?
Yes, sir. I got my stuff, what I was taking with me, and they got me out at 1 a.m. that night. They let me out. It was 3 degrees at Terre Haute, Indiana. But, I mean, it was just so surreal. I didn't sleep the first 36. I had been up all that day, and I didn't sleep 36 hours from the time they let me out of that prison gate. It was just so such a shock psychologically. I was just not – it was – I was in the cell 1 minute, and then I'm getting kicked out the front gate in the middle of the night the next minute. It was insane.
Hey, Shane, what about, were you married? Did you have a family or something when you went in, or were you just kind of a lone protester kind of thing?
But I do have 5 children, but I was single, and I was dating and this and that, but I'm involved in a church heavily in Houston and go to singles Bible studies and all that, but you know, I was single, and I did go to D.C. by myself. I was just a concerned citizen. I had a lot of questions about the 2020 election, and I wanted Mike Pence to send the electors back to the state so they could do about a 10-day investigation. And then if they came back and said Trump lost, then Trump lost. That was my deal. But let's do our due diligence and do an investigation, because I had seen all the questionable videos that everybody else saw and had the questions about the voting machines and all that. So I just wanted them to take a responsible look at it. Like, if we don't have a secure election and people don't have the faith in the integrity of the election, then there's no point in this country existing.
All right. Now that you are out and putting your life back together and working with your Stand in the Gap, by the way, Stand in the Gap Foundation, standinthegap.foundation, I think is your website, right? Isn't that where people can go find out more about this?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Standinthegap.foundation.
All right. So what would you like to see the new Trump administration, or, you know, given the fact that you were essentially fighting with the FBI and DC police, et cetera, what kind of reforms would you like to see in the FBI, in the Department of Justice? You know, Kash Patel, now Dan Bongino, having joined that administration too. What are you thinking?
That's such good news to hear those two guys are in there. I want to see, I don't know how they'd go about this, but I want to see our agencies depoliticized. I want them to be even down the middle. I don't want anybody to fall victim to what we've experienced. And that goes for people on the left as well. I don't want to see them persecuted by the government, just like I don't want people on the right to be persecuted. But I, you know, the main thing that I'm focused on at withstanding the gap, though, moving forward after we get January 6th guys situated, we want to work on justice reform. And that means, and I didn't tell you this, but in the D.C. jail, we were denied visits for 2 years. We were denied haircuts for 1 year, and we were denied religious services for 2 years. And those are basic rights of a prisoner. And so we want to fight that, as well as the BOP, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, I thought was like a gold star for America. And, you know, they were talking about, oh, it's going to be bowling alleys and tennis courts and this, that, the other. And it was the complete opposite from what I saw. And if you listen to any other Jan Sixer story about federal prison, it is a war zone in there. I watched people get stabbed. I saw 2 people die in there, one from an overdose and one being beat to death by his cellmate.
So any of this talk about country club prison, it's not the case, huh?
maybe at the lowest, like the low camp level where it's a lot of freedom. But from what I saw, drugs and gangs and violence working hand in hand with the correctional officers. Like, I watched officers get inmates hurt by them saying, hey, that guy needs to be off this yard or whatever. And so there's got to be a fundamental policy shift in the BOP, which the previous director, who's now been fired, but she was more worried about the guards using the proper pronouns for the inmates than they were about safety and investing in these men and women to get them back right to where they can be the best son, child, employee, or whatever in society.
And hey, so, that's great. I'm glad they had their priority. I'm being sarcastic, of course, here. All right. When you look back at this, I want to ask you a question. Was there any evidence, in your opinion, that came to you that there was actually that there were agent provocateurs, actually people planted, perhaps even government agents? That's been something which has been questioned and wondered about for quite some time. Government agents planted throughout this, trying to whip up sportiness, so to speak, on J6. Did you see any evidence of that?
I did not see federal. I mean, we had the admission that there were federal people. I know a guy who I was in Terre Haute, Indiana, who got made contact with people at January 6th and didn't get arrested. He got arrested for something after January 6th, but he met these federal informants at January the 6th that later entrapped him into some other stuff that he's in prison for now. But there's so many different layers. So if I interviewed a guy who was a self-avowed Antifa member on my Twitter page, I have a letter that he gave me and wanted me to publish and send out to the world. And he admitted to me that there was 18 Antifa members with him at the Capitol dressed as Trump supporters. And we watched video of him and his friends provoking the police. So now you've got these protesters provoking the police. And what do the police do? Then they react. And then they start
beating the people in the tunnel, like you were just talking about earlier, right?
Right. Well, and then what do people do who see other innocent people getting attacked and they get involved? And that there is a whole psychological deal to the way a crowd functions and reacts in situations like this. So there's that, and then there was the intentional lowering of security that day. They refused the National Guard. There was 200 out of 2,000 Capitol Police on hand that day. And I have no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt that they needed this insurrection to happen. I call it the Fedsurrection, but they needed this to happen to be able to just blow off the investigation into the election and just push the election through, and that's exactly what they did.
All right. Shane, I appreciate the take. What is next for you, though, over at Stand in the Gap? I mean, you say you're going to try to get a lot of these other J6ers getting their families back together and trying to raise money to make that happen. What about you? What's going to happen with you?
I'm moving forward as the executive director of Stand in the Gap, and I have a history of working for a nonprofit. I work for a prison ministry in Houston, so I'm going to move forward with this. And we've had some very good conversations with some people inside the Trump administration to be right in the middle of this reformation of the BOP, and so I believe that's where I'm going to be at. I'm going to be fighting for the people that are locked up, who are going to be your neighbor and my neighbor, so we get the best people we can coming out of those prisons to be our neighbors.
Is there anybody still left from J6 in prison right now? Are they all out?
There are some men that, especially specifically Jeremy Brown of Green Beret, former Green Beret, and we're still fighting to get those people out. It's just been some of these guys, I believe, got arrested with other things or had other charges in the state, or the states are going after them because of January 6th. And since they got pardoned, now the states don't want to let them go. So it's just been an ongoing battle. There's about 3 or 4, I believe, that are still inside, though.
Okay. All right. Shane, thanks for the update on this one. Shane Jenkins is the executive director of Stand in the Gap, standinthegap.foundation. I will put your information up there. I hope to have you back, and I'm glad to hear that, like I said, you've only been out, about a month, I guess, right? Just a little over a month at this point. But must be sweet. I'll bet you you probably value freedom now even more now today than before.
Oh, man, I value just the little things, like just being able to walk outside. I've been staying with my son at his grandmother's for a little bit, and they let me sleep on an air mattress, and they're like, we feel bad. And I was like, don't feel bad. If you knew what I've been sleeping on for the last 4 years, like this is like sleeping on a cloud. So, yeah, I appreciate the little things.
Yeah, air mattress is okay with me. Yeah, you got it. All right.
Yes,
hey, Shane,
sir.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in, okay? Good to hear from you.
All right, God bless you. Thanks for having
God
me.
God bless you, too. Shane Jenkins from Stand in the Gap. It is just before, well, 5 before 7 at KMED and KBXG.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option?
657. In other news this morning, Annie Tuesom Newsom came out over the weekend and requesting from the Trump administration $40 billion to rebuild Southern California after the fires. This would be the most expensive disaster ever. Question. Should they get the money? Or if they were going to get the money, what strings should you attach? Because remember, every time you accept a federal government check, or actually even a state government check, too, for that matter, you usually have to have some sort of, well, you have to perform some sort of thing. Kind of like when the City of Medford Council takes a grant from ODOT and other agencies, it'll say, hey, we would, we'll give you money to pave your streets, but you have to do the road diet, right? And you have to put up bicycle bumways with the bollards and get everybody all upset about downtown. And then the City of Medford says, okay, all right. Well, all right, so we just have to destroy the free flow of traffic and go to 20 miles per hour and have the bicycle bumways. All right, I know I'm kind of mixing the stories up, but you kind of see where I'm going. $40 billion from Annie Tuesom Newsom. Should they get the money to rebuild L.A. from the American taxpayers? And if so, what kind of conditions would you put on it? We could talk about this morning, 770-5633-770-KMED. Another story that caught my ear. You're speaking of traffic in downtown Medford. I ended up getting an email from a listener who wants to keep their name out of this. And this has to do with the Medford Transportation Safety Action Plan. And the person says, I have not seen this action plan shared or advertised like I think it should be. There's a link that allows for community input on any traffic-related issues, concerns, or improvement ideas. It's the same type of survey that was done that ended up implementing the road diets on Main and McAndrews. And this anonymous emailer says, Bill, this has been heavily distributed within the biking community, so the spandex mafia. So the comments are likely very one-sided right now, is what this person said. And I thank the individual for giving me, because I hadn't heard about this Transportation Safety Action Plan. And yeah, he's absolutely right. There it is out there. MedfordOregon.gov, government departments, public works, transportation studies, Transportation Safety Action Plan. And essentially what you can do, you go down on this page. In fact, I already put the link up on KMED.com. In fact, look on the Bill Meyer Show blog section, and I put in there about the Transportation Safety Action Plan. It's the link to this, and it takes you to a city webpage, and then you scroll down on this, and it says, get involved, take the Phase 1 survey. And this survey is going to be open for another month or so, like March 28th is when this ends. And the point being is that they're looking for feedback. You look at this and you say, okay, here is a transportation problem. This particular intersection is bad. This street is really has some problems, et cetera, et cetera. Well, supposedly what's being reported to me is that the bicycle mafia, the spandex mafia, is just all over this thing, and they're going to front load. They're going to just throw in a bunch of stuff. I've never even heard about this survey for the Transportation Safety Action Plan until this individual popped it to me in his email. And I just really appreciate this, because sometimes it's difficult to keep up with every single project in every single city. But this is a big deal. You can actually go onto this survey and you open it up and you can say, all right, as an example, I live on Delta Waters. I live on Delta Waters Speedway. I call it Delta Waters Speedway because, frankly, there's just insane speeding that comes down from Foothill. Friday night, it's like listening to the races. Now, for an example, I could actually say, okay, Transportation Safety Action Plan. I could say, all right, I would like there be a way to slow down the traffic down there and just have them doing 35. Fortunately, no kids have been hit yet. It's only a matter of time. Now, I live on Viewpoint Drive, which is not too far off of that. And the city just punched that road through, and it was a dead end before, and so now it's three, and now it's free flowing. Viewpoint up by Foothill ends up going all the way through it. But I got to tell you, we got drivers routinely in a very narrow residential street doing 40 miles an hour. It is insane how fast they drive there. So you could actually make a little note to the city, say, hey, could you take a look at something like this? Or else this intersection is failing, or these bike lanes are getting in the way. The bump outs are, you see, this is what you could do. The bump outs are getting in the way of the free flow of traffic downtown. Oh, the 20 mile per hour speed limit is not so good in downtown Medford. All you're doing is just ticketing us. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can highlight on this and then leave comment. Now, you know the Bicycle Mafia is going to leave as much comment as they can to make sure and road diet the rest of the city if they would have their way. So, again, your silence is your consent. So don't be silent about this. If you're a Medford resident, get onto KMED.com. And I have the link up there for the Transportation Safety Action Plan. Just look under the Bill Myers Show blog, okay? I've got the I made it just a separate post there just for that, okay? Very important stuff. Mr. Outdoors will join me after news and the hand of the update for that matter. And we're also going to be talking with Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law, where past meets present. That'll be coming up in about an hour.
Lose your car key or remote. Don't get